Welcome to Physique Star Radio, hosted by Ian Lauer. Physique Star Radio brings you wall-to-wall coverage of NPC and IFBB men's physique competitions, personalities, competitors, lifestyles, training, and all the latest news you can ask for. Now, here's your host, Ian Lauer.
Welcome to Physique Star Radio, where we help you build your best physique and make it work for you. This past weekend was a huge weekend in the NPC and IFBB. As you may be aware, it was the North American Championships, where a number of gentlemen turned pro, and additionally we had the Valente Gold Cup, where the pros had a chance to earn their spot on the Olympia stage. Let's break down the results here for you quickly. The North American, as I may have mentioned before, was a huge, huge show. Let's just give you the winners in each class, and then we'll move on to the Valente Cup, and IFBB Pro Dean Michael Fazzolari will join me then as we discuss the Valente and the upcoming Olympia. At the North Americans in Class A, we had Ronald Boygan taking first. In Class B, Tyler Steins. Tyler actually won the overall and looked great in the process. In Class C, we had Robert Ortiz. Class D, George Brown. Class E, Anthony Perez. Now, Anthony will be with us on the show later today and talking about his trials and tribulations along the way. In Class F, which is, of course, is the tallest class, we had Joe Conta taking first place. Additionally, they had Masters 35 and up, as well as 40 and up. In Masters 35 Class A, Scott Dew. Class B and over 35 was John Phippen. Over 35 Class C, Willie Spencer. Class D, Jeffrey Valquez. Class E, Chris Mosher. And over 35 Class F, Charles Chester. In Masters over 40 Class A, Tony Torres. Class B, Tony Martin. And Class C over 40 was Willie Spencer. Class D, Spencer Owens. Over 40 Class E, Michael Johnson. And over 40 Class F, Demetrius Clemens. So that is a collection of your first place winners at the North American Championships. And as I mentioned before, with us now is Dean Michael Fazzolari to discuss the Valente Cup with us as well as the upcoming Olympia. Dean, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm here just trying to get this show together for our listeners, as you know. And let's see. So, obviously, you were covering the Valente Gold Cup, correct?
Yep, I was there. I've seen it all, and there were some pretty shocking moments. But, some good, some bad, but it was very interesting to watch this last, you know, show before the Olympia.
Well, now, of course, as you can see our results on mensphysique.com, and you'll see that Jeff Seed ended up taking first place, and the other guys earning points, William, the Breadman Sullivan, Stephen Mash, Jason Poston, and Julian Jean. Now, you mentioned some surprising moments. What were some of those moments?
Well, for the first time, you know, since covering shows and being at shows, I've seen that the finals actually made a big deal, not just for men's physique, but also the figure and bikini classes.
Oh, okay.
It looked like a lot of people in the beginning of the show, you know, the first call-outs, they were some guys that were on the outside, someone like, you know, William, he was put on the outside for most of the first call-outs. In the finals, he was put towards the middle, and he actually gained third at the finals. Another one, bikini class, one of the females on the bikini class, she was put in the middle the whole time, and mm-hmm. At tonight's show, the one who was put in the middle, her name is actually Carolina Silva. She didn't even place top three, and it was interesting to see. I thought she took the show in the morning show. So that was, you know, some of the shocking moments of the show was that it looked like not only was it about the prejudging, but definitely the finals made a big difference, which is something that, you know, people should keep in mind next time they decide to, you know, stuff their face in between shows. It could actually make or break you for the final.
Well, you know, and it's interesting to talk about the placements and different movements and where people finished up. And you mentioned William the Redman Sullivan. He'll be with us on the show later today after this first segment. But, yeah, so, I mean, he got his second place when it was all said and done, correct?
Yeah, and, you know, it is well-deserved. His aesthetics, his proportion, his symmetry, his balance, everything was on point, even his condition. You know, this is his ninth show coming in,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, nine shows he did. Every show but the Dallas Open, that's because he had a huge business meeting to attend to, or else he would have done that as well. But, man, he came in and, you know, I think he deserved it. If not second, he definitely deserved first because he did come in as balanced as I've yet to see him. Well, and it was also interesting, the one dude who came in is crazy from the Europa to this show. The Europa, you could definitely tell the change of judges because at the Europa, the most conditioned guy on that stage, even though he's probably the smallest guy, the most conditioned guy on that stage won the show.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this show, the most conditioned guy on that stage got their call out.
Oh, wow.
And that was, it was his pro debut. That was David Pachinko.
Mm-hmm.
New IV, you probably got his pro card at Team University, looked amazing there, came into the show. And this guy's lines had lines, you know? And it was quite, it was a little shocking to see that. He not only did he not get the first call out, but he didn't even get the second call out.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when you come into these shows, you never really do know. And then especially when you're looking at a different panel of judges, that can make all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people now, it just goes to show that you really have to choose your shows wisely when it comes to the judges, because some judges like the bigger look, some like the small look, some like the hard look, and some like the soft look. And it looked like coming into this show, the judges went for the softer look. And, Jeff Seed, obviously, winning first place, not only did it look like they came with their softer look, but they actually enjoyed the not so much of the mature muscle and physique, kind of like what we talked about the last show. Like,
mm-hmm.
How can you, compare a younger 19-year-old physique, to someone like William Sullivan or, somebody else or even Julian Jean, who plays fifth at his pro debut.
Mm-hmm.
He's very round, his chest is round, his delts are round, everything is nice. It's amazing to see how they compare, a younger to older look when it comes to the physique.
Yeah.
And it looks like they went for, the younger look.
Well, it is interesting, and it's going to be something to keep our eye on as the years go by in this division. I'm definitely one that appreciates, I don't care what the age of the competitor is, but I do appreciate being able to see the work that's went into it, as opposed to just having genetically a small waist and, a frame that will hold muscle somewhat aesthetic. I'm more into seeing that work, that's been put in.
Absolutely. And I got to give credit too, because I definitely said to myself when we do this talk show, I want to give him credit. And I give a lot of people credit who didn't get the first call outs, because a lot of people forget the fact that there were other competitors there, and a lot of guys looked great and didn't get the first call out. Dave Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
man, he did two other shows before this. He came in the best I've seen him yet this show. His condition was on point. His shoulder release ratio
mm-hmm.
was amazing. And I think he's another one. I think he might have got second call outs. I think he might have got third or third along with that David Pachinko.
I didn't see David place, and he always comes in really well. I'm surprised at pretty much every show to see how low he's placing, because he does come in looking great. But before we get too far along, we should say congrats to Jeff on earning his spot on Olympia stage, and to the other gentlemen this year that have solidified their spot. Now, Dean, do you have in front of you by chance the list of official competitors that will be competing this year at the Olympia?
Yes, I do.
So if we could go through, could you rip off the winners of shows and then give us the guys that earned their place by points, please?
Yeah, so from first show to last show, it goes Steve Cook, then Matt Krishna,
mm-hmm.
who won the first show of the year, of this year, which was, which show was it? The first one in California.
Yeah, it was out here. It was one of the muscle contest shows, yeah.
Yeah, and then Michael Anderson, who won the Europa, Mark Anthony, who won Pittsburgh, Anton Antovov,
mm-hmm.
he won the one in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Sadiq won New York Pro. Matt Acton won Toronto. Toronto. And Jeremy Badena, he won Louisiana, which I'm pretty sure was. Jeremy Badena. Tony Woodward, he won Tampa. John won the Europa in Dallas. And then Jesse just won the Sarasota show, which was the Olympic Gold Cup.
Great.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then let's hear the guys that earned the points and found their way on stage.
Tyler Anderson, who he plays, you know, his top fives in almost every show, but I think one that he did.
Mm-hmm.
William Sullivan came in second. Alex Carnero came in third. Then Jason Polston and Stephen Mass, which actually this last show by placing third place, he actually beat out a couple of guys, which gave him the last spot.
Wow! So it really was.
So it was kind of worth it to do that show.
It came down to the wire then to make it in to the show. So, well, it's going to be something. It's going to be quite a turnout, I'm sure. You know, I heard of some folks talking trash earlier on Facebook about the division, and it just makes me laugh. My guess would be 100% based in insecurity and the fact that other groups aren't gaining the popularity and they feel it's being stolen by men's physique. But let's be honest, physique is the future, and it's building the IFBB, not building it, but it's definitely bringing more attention to the IFBB.
I would say building as well, because, like, just think about it. You know, the truth of the matter is, and it's not because, listen, I love bodybuilding. I'm even thinking about crossing over into bodybuilding. But, you know, physique is, you know, whether you want to call it a marketing scheme or whatever, you know, people want to call it, it's obviously bringing in a huge attention to the IFBB, because there are guys that never followed, you know, bodybuilding, and now just brought in a whole new, you know, a whole new market of people, you know,
right,
younger people as well.
Well, and you said market. That's a key word right there, is another market of people, because let's be honest. Except for the 1% of people that are interested in bodybuilding, if you're not in that 1%, you don't give a shit about a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
You don't. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate and respect bodybuilding. I love it. But if you're not in that 1% of oddballs like us, you don't care about that group. And so it's one of those things where, you know, it's one hand washes the other. As physique competitors, we appreciate the work that goes into bodybuilding. And on the flip side, I hope that it's understood the attention in the mainstream media that divisions like men's physique and even bikini and figure can bring to the sport.
Oh, absolutely. And especially too with bikini as well. Like, you know, whether it doesn't matter how people train or do. I mean, they get on the stage, they look great, whether it's, you know, muscle cells or sex cells when they're
mm-hmm.
stepping off stage, you know, be it the bodybuilder or bikini or whatever. It is what it is. And mm-hmm. this is why there are different classes, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is, I mean, I see bikini people training. Obviously, I see physique guys training, including myself. And I know the work that goes in. And the amount of work that goes in for a lot of the physique competitors, and I imagine a lot of the bikini competitors and even figure as well, without being pharmaceutically enhanced, create an attainable yet amazing physique. And I think that that's a huge step in a positive direction for the IFBB.
Absolutely. And if there's one more person who's going to say that men's physique guys don't train legs, let me tell you something. So, Sarah's worried about 20% of all the physique guys maybe don't train legs, and there are bodybuilders that can't get their legs up that go into men's physique. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so how many more physique pros have to take a picture of their legs to show everybody that we train legs, you know?
Exactly.
It's kind of just getting aggravating now. At first, I can understand where people are coming from. But, like, now it's just enough, you know, like, the joke's done, you know, physique's been around for about 3 years now. Everybody knows physique guy trains, like, just because we don't have these, you know, 32-inch legs, it's because it doesn't fit our physique, you know?
Exactly.
It doesn't fit the average physique guy's physique. It shouldn't be like that.
No,
that's why
it's
physique, not bodybuilding, you know?
Well, I laugh every time, too. I mean, I know when I'm on stage, I mean, my quads will come in at maybe 26, 27 inches. And at the biggest, they were over 28. And my waist is 30 even when I'm on stage. So don't tell me that a 2-inch to 3-inch drop from waist to quads isn't a respectable leg mass.
Exactly. You know, and it's just like enough now, you know. Obviously, I'm not going to have legs like Phil Heath or Jay Cutler. And
yeah.
I'm not going to have the upper body like them as well, and nor is any other physique guy. And it's not exactly, it's not supposed to be like that. That's why it's men's physique,
right,
and bodybuilding is bodybuilding.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where I think, yeah, it has to be, that sort of rant has to be based in insecurity. And
it's ego. It's really ego that comes out. It's the ego that people talk. You know, same thing with you look in the gym, and most of the guys, and the best part is usually the guys who have such negative things to say about the physique, like the bodybuilders, are the guys who are always off season.
Mm-hmm.
They've done one or two shows. They don't really do well in their shows, and they live and think with their ego rather than, you know, any brains. And you know, and not just bodybuilders, any guy, you know.
Right.
People that never even step on stage. Even
right.
Skinny guys that want to be a bodybuilder, you know, they're like 30% body fat, you know, all year round, and it's like enough's enough.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, and I don't mean to, I don't want to be trashing on bodybuilding, because obviously it's had a profound effect on my life and what I do, and I know for you as well. But I just think it's funny when people go on this rant and talk trash about it. It's one of these things where I have to say, okay, pal, so you're going to go up to the Mannions and tell them that they don't know what they're doing? You're crazy. I mean, obviously
exactly.
They know what they're doing, and this division was a monstrous step in the right direction, as well as the popularity that's gained on the female side of the sport due to the changes they've made there.
I'm just waiting, so like I said, man, and I love bodybuilding, and the thing is, I'm waiting for them to come out with the classic bodybuilding, like
yeah.
I say in almost every, because, you know, I don't want to, like everyone says, why didn't you go over to bodybuilding, you know, like, I'm currently 260 pounds right now, you know, and I'm still maintaining a low body percentage, but the thing is, I don't want to gain an extra 20 pounds of muscle. I want to be 260 and be happy there, and I want to come in at 240 or 250.
Right.
Cold, you know?
Right.
But, you know, any heavier than that I start getting into, you know, that extreme look, and I don't want to be the extreme look because it's not for me, you know?
Well, and your frame, to be competitive at that level, you would have to walk around over 300 off season and come in at 270 on, I mean, shredded. Give or take a little bit. I mean, you'd have to be really. I mean, I don't mean to look great, but I mean to be competitive at that level.
Competitive, yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, you know, even if I decide to cross over to bodybuilding, I'm gonna kind of force the classic physique in there. Whether I do well, which I doubt, or not, which I, you know, I'm pretty sure of that I won't do well. It's not even about the placement. It's more like, you know what? I'm doing what I want to do.
Right.
You know? And that's kind of like the goal that I'm trying to set forth is that, you know, you know, with this physique division or whatever, you know what, if I want to cross over into bodybuilding, it's not about, you know, what, you know, either the judges or it's what it's supposed to be. It's about what I want to do as a person because I train hard enough and I, you know, I want to mark myself how I want to mark myself. And to me right now, I'm looking towards classic bodybuilding because that's what I enjoy, you know?
Right, right. Well, I it would be interesting to see, and I hope that at some point they do add that. And like you and I talked before, it wouldn't be a surprise if at some point down the road that could happen. But that's out of our hands. And I would have to imagine that physique would have to start to plateau a bit before adding something like that. But you never know.
Well, for the looks of it, I mean, the way it's going... And I heard a rumor, but they're really starting to bring physique. Everyone says, oh, they're making physique bigger. No, I think physique's getting smaller, you know. They're making it more, and it's not anybody's fault, but, you know, what the IFBB and FBC wants to do, it's not the competitors' fault, but it looks like they're going more towards the beach body.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I think it depends on the panel of judges. I can see what you're saying from the last couple of shows, but I think once we hit the Olympia, and then you have a couple of the bigger guys up there when it comes to just the mass that they carry, it'll be interesting. Because Cook will come in, I have a feeling he'll come in pretty thick. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Once we get this first Olympia under our belt, then I think we'll have a little better idea of where they're wanting to take it. But I hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying.
Listen, I don't care. I mean, if they want to come in with if they're going to pick a smaller guy, so be it. Just make sure the guy's conditioned around. Like, please, you know? let's keep this competitive,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I want to see condition. I want to see some lines. And I want to see some nice round muscle maturity, like some separation. Give me some separation and I'll be happy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the size because it's meant to be. That's why it would have been a weight class then, you know?
Yeah.
A big guy can win, a small guy can win. I don't care. Just make sure that it looks like they did their homework before stepping on stage.
You said it. Well, Dean, thanks for the report for the NPC and IFBB Men's Physique Division. To our listeners, make sure you stay tuned through this short commercial break. We'll be back with a second-place finisher at the Valenti Gold Cup and Olympia-qualified William, the Breadman Sullivan.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustane RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at Iron Mag Labs. Labs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Formastanzol is an amazing compound that should be part of every cycle, not only for muscle gains and fat loss, but for longevity and health. Formastanzol is one of the world's most potent aromatase inhibitors. Use Formastanzol for on-cycle estrogen and progesterone control, as a standalone anabolic fat burning agent, and during post-cycle therapy. Are you using Muscle Research's revolutionary transdermal Formastanzol? Available at MrSupps.com with free shipping.
Every bodybuilder scours the supplement world looking for the secret of how to get huge and ripped. But what if I told you there's a product that'll give you a year's worth of gains in mere weeks? I bet I have your attention now. Let me introduce you to Methyl S, Ion Tech Labs brand name for pure, uncut methylstenbolone. If you seek strength and massive size gains, Methyl S promises just that. And no conversion to estrogen, so no gynecomastia. That's right, no chance of growing male breasts or bitch tits. No estrogen also means no bloating. And Methyl S is the strongest legal pro hormone on the market. It's comparable to the strength and mass building effects of the powerful oral anabolic steroids, Anadrol and Dianabol. Sound too good to be true? Well, try Methyl S for yourself. Go to www.IonTechLabs.com for the most powerful legal designer steroid of all time. Order your bottle of Methyl S today at IonTechLabs.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting QuestProteinBar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out QuestProteinBar.com now. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com.
And welcome back to Physique Star Radio. With us now is Billy, the Breadman Sullivan. Billy, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I guess I'm now with Bob Chicarello's words is the yeast from the east.
The yeast from the east.
That's the new nickname.
When I hear yeast, though, it makes me think of things that aren't so appealing. So, and I understand it's a major component to get that bread to rise, and you want to rise to the top. But it always throws me off a little bit when I hear yeast. I think it's too many of these commercials on television that maybe they shouldn't be on there quite so much.
Yeah, well, we're changing that with P28, the representation of that, and I think, you know, he's just saying that, you know, I keep showing up and I keep rising at every show, and, and we've seen it at this show, so it's definitely a good thing and definitely a blessing. So as long as I keep rising like yeast, I'm happy with however they want to look at it.
You know, all I got to say is let's hope we change the perception of yeast in the general public.
Most amongst
the masses. But I just want to run over the results again once more with you real quick here. Jeff Seed took in the first. You got your second place, which the big news there is you solidified and earned enough points to earn your place on the Olympia stage. We'll come back to that in a moment. In third place, Stephen Massigan. Fourth, Jason Poston. And fifth, Julian G. And all these guys earning points. And then you had a lot of familiar faces. Sixth was Vincent Fiore, Sheridan House Jr. in seventh. Steve Masherbash, 8th, Craig Caperso, 9th, and in 10th, Robin Bolgo, or below, Bout, Robin, sorry, pal, B-A-L-O-G-H. And I mean, it was a big show. We had 23 guys, I believe it was, that showed up, and that was just your top 10 right there. Now
I think it was 20, I think it was 25, actually.
25 actually made
it. I think it was 20, yeah, and then one guy didn't show up for the night show. But yeah,
you're right.
It was a great lineup. I mean, everybody came in, you know, looking super good. You know, everybody's just hunting for that Olympia spot. They either wanted it all or to get some points or just to, you know, a lot of new faces to show their faces. Like Julian was up there. He got top 5. You know, he's got a great face, a great look. So you know, there's a lot of good guys coming in and you know, and making us work. And guys that have had their pro cards, you know. Mm-hmm. They're showing up. I mean, look at, you know, you got Jeff and you got the kid from last week that took first. You know, these guys are just getting their pro cards in. And I love it. I love the fire. You know, I love that motivation. I love the drive. You know, I look forward to that. And I like to see, you know, the men's physique growing the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the shows are getting bigger. You know, and that's what we want. That's definitely what we want. We want to grow this whole part of it.
Well, if the division itself grows across the board, it improves our chance of actually making a real impact. And by real impact, I don't mean something that's just on the pages of a couple magazines. I mean making a real impact in the nation or world as a whole. And that comes from a large group of like-minded individuals. And if as a community, we're into promoting positive self-esteem and building greater bodies the right way, then yeah, it's going to make a bigger impact. So yeah, you're right. We got to grow this division. But I do want to go back, Billy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that somebody didn't show up, and I don't want to mention names here, but this is an etiquette situation that we have to discuss. If you compete, and this may a lot of beginners may not understand this. Like if you don't do well in prejudging, that doesn't mean you should skip out on finals. That's actually a really bad idea. And shows poor sportsmanship. And, I mean, if something happens and your leg falls off or there's a death in the family, that's one thing. But to just not show up because you're not happy with how things happened in the prejudging is poor sportsmanship.
Most definitely. Yeah. I mean, I
was unaware that even happened.
Yeah. I was surprised, you know. I'm not even sure who the fellow was, you know. When I get backstage, you know, I talk to who I know, and which is pretty much everybody. But I'm kind of in the zone myself, so I just heard it a little something. But you know, being focused and just keeping myself mentally ready to go on stage and perform and things of that nature. So, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's people that are following you. You know, if you're a pro, you know, you definitely have people following you regardless if you realize it or not. Or if not following you, following the whole industry and men's physique in general. So, yeah, I mean, one thing reflects on us all. So, you know, we definitely got to go through with what you sign up for, most definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're there, and especially as a professional, you are considered to be somewhat of a draw for this show. So by entering into that contest, if you don't show up, like you say, you have followers or fans or friends that are going to be disappointed that, you know, they don't get another chance to see you on stage. And it doesn't, it gives you, you lose out, you put all that time and effort in for those brief, fleeting moments on stage. And to pass on nearly half of that time. It just doesn't make sense. Let's say you're at a football game and you're down 49-0 at halftime. I don't know about you, Billy, but when I was in the locker room, for whatever reason, I always thought there was still a way to pull it out. And I understand that prejudging is a huge part of this, but you still have to come out fighting and swinging in that second half of the show.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean that just shows a person where your true passion is.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it reflects on us all. So, I mean, and with us, like, within this industry, it's small, but we're all positive and we're all motivating each other. I mean, you see it, you know, we posted pictures on our muscle work. You know, everybody comes to, you know, the P28 booth after. I invite everybody up, you know, to the booth, you know, enjoy product and just conversation in general because, you know, this is what it's about. It's camaraderie and you know, and us as a whole, you know, we work hard, we know what we're doing and enjoying it, you know, and then we get the opportunity to meet so many different people from different places. You got guys, two of the fellows there came down from Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, they got their pro cards there, and now they're competing here at IFBB, which is awesome. So now you're getting a whole different side, a whole different look, a whole different perspective on the sport. And that's the part I love about it. So, yeah, I look forward to those little things like that. And that helps the sport grow as well.
And I always call Billy, but if you're looking for him and you're not seeing him, it's William. That's what you'll find him as RX Muscle. It'll be William Sullivan. And you may hear Billy, the yeast from the east, the bread man, the P28 dude. You might hear a number of different things. But that's who we have here on the line, just in case you're unaware. But Billy, I wanted to talk to you about just reaching this monster's goal. I mean, your goal from day one was to throw all the cards in there, all the chips in, all in, as you'd say, and get onto that Olympia stage, and you have realized that goal. I mean, that's just incredible. I mean, I'm so proud of you and so happy for you, and for you, and also for all of the P28 team. I mean, it's I'm sure the whole team, we're all proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, you guys motivate me, you guys help me, and I want to be a great leader. You know, and a great leader is somebody that goes through with what they say they're going to do. You know, so when I set goals and I go after something, you know, I'm going to achieve them. And I want everybody that's running with me or watching to see that they can do the same thing. Regardless, running a business, being a family man, you know, having other things, you know, going on in my life, along with competing, doing every show, doing booths at the show, you know, setting them up and getting on stage as well. You know, if you put your mind to it, you're going to do it. It was awesome because Dean asked me a great question in the interview, and he said, you know, if you could tell the people one motivating, you know, slogan or line, what would that be? And I said, you know, my father told me, don't put something off till tomorrow when you know you can do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the line that I always think of, is, you know, when I get down or when I get, you know, upset or tired or, you know, thinking like, you know, I just want to just relax for a minute, that goes through my head and it pushes me through. And, you know, and that's what we have to do. When you want to achieve something, you have to pull and dig deep, you know, because it's not easy. Some people get it handed to them, and some people got to fight and do every show and come in, you know, every time and show their face and bring the best that they can bring, you know, to every show and hope to win it like I had to this year. Nothing was handed to me. I mean, I had to bust my butt for every single show and earn points. You know, I got top five placings this year. You know, I ended up having, you know, tied with the most points to get into the Olympia with 12, which is, you know, awesome, you know, and such a blessing that I was able to even, you know, get here. I mean, we're making history right now. And for me to be able to do this is just like, I mean, I could cry right now. I mean, that's how happy I am. And that's just it in a nutshell. I'm just ecstatic that I reached this point. I was able to pull as deep as possible and to keep going forward and keep myself focused and get there. And now it's just so joyous to be able to step onto this stage in such a historical moment. And it's definitely the biggest moment of my life.
Well, and you made a good point there, too, of working and fighting and, you know, tooth and nail to get this thing done. And there are, of course, some guys that have been able to, you know, do a qualifier and then go to a national show and then turn around and then win a their first pro show. And, you know, three shows later, they find their way onto the Olympia stage. And, I mean, congratulations. Yeah. That's excellent.
Most definitely. God bless them, yeah.
But on the same token, I've always been one of the guys that always had to work his ass off to get anywhere. And, you know, I really appreciate the gentleman that put the time and the work in. And I know what it can do for a person when it comes to building that work ethic and working with integrity to the point where you build just an incredible brand in yourself. And the mm-hmm. appreciation of the achievement, I would have to imagine, is just incredible when it comes to getting onto that Olympia stage.
Yeah, I mean, everything is just going, you know, hand in hand with what I love to do. And that's the best part about it. And, you know, within branding yourself, that's what you want to do. Try to channel all those things into one so you can make it a little bit easier for you by everything going hand in hand with what you're doing. And I'm able to do that, you know, with my product, with my lifestyle, and with, you know, which becomes competing, and all those things are in the same lane, which is great. And I'm just able to take those to the highest level. And it's just such an achievement and such an honor to be able to do that and to be able to motivate others, you know, at the same time. Because that's where, you know, I get my motivation from. That's one of my passions is, you know, helping others, you know, achieve things. Even if it's a small word or a small line, you know, backstage, you know, people, you know, the new guys coming in or guys that are, you know, maybe the first shows or second shows or guys that have been competing all year, I'll always, you know, give them a little something. That's mm-hmm. just me. Not that they need it, but if I see it, I try to, you know, I try to give it because it helps. You know, that little bit might just bring that smile or bring something different to your mind that just helps you shine that much more on stage. Because at the end of the day, we're all winning. You know, we're all pros. We all work our butt off, and we're all shining in our own ways because we are our own brand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once people realize that, just get up there and do their thing, and be happy with what they brought, regardless of any outcome. You know, a lot of times that's my advice.
That's a great piece to keep in mind, too, is, you know, you have to be happy with what you brought. And, you know, I've heard it time and time again where guys are chasing something and changing themselves in a way that they're not necessarily happy mm-hmm. changing themselves. And then when they mm-hmm. still miss the target, then they're even more upset. Where I've seen guys like Xavius Gaydon this year, he changed his physique last year, and then he turned around and went back to more of his original physique, and it paid off big for him at the USA's where he took the overalls. So, and he was mm-hmm. much happier with the physique he brought in this year. And I think that's just it's just important across the board because if you're not happy with what you're bringing, and with this being still such a young division, there's still time to help mold it in the right direction. So you might as well bring what you want it to be. So speaking of bringing in what you want it to be, what is your focus going to be this last month going into the Olympia? What are you going to work on, changes or tightening things up? What's your plan?
Physique-wise, I'm happy with where I am now. It's just transitioning into stage presence. I'm a little stiff with that, so I want to get more fluent into my movements and things because you have guys up there that are just dancing, you know, when it comes to posing, and not in a bad way. I mean, in a good way. These guys are just fluent and transitional in their moves. I mean, you can look at guys like Mark Anthony. I mean, the guys, I mean, you get hypnotized when he poses. He's just so fluent with it, and I like that. You know, I watch these guys, you know, and I try to use that and put my own style on it, you know. And we were texting each other this weekend, and I said, when I posed, I said, did you see my feet? He said, very clever. And I said, well, you know, I try to watch, you know, how people are transitioning and how people are winning. And, you know, those little pointers like that, they help you up there, and you have to pay attention to them because it could be a little detail that could put everything right on track of what you need. And now it's just going to be, you know, this last 3.5 weeks, just posing, keeping my everything else on track with just staying tight, which I always do. So, but this time I nailed it. I was able to, you know, get back to Florida, you know, sit down here for 2 weeks and train and do everything I needed to do going into this show and going into Tampa, which mm-hmm. was awesome. So I've been in Florida now almost a month.
Oh,
but that's what it took for me, because being on the road and going to different places every weekend, you know, it takes a toll on you. But when you got to buckle down and get into it, like I said, you got to dig deep, you know, and go into the dungeon, wherever you got to go into, and get it in and make sure you come out ready. And that's what I did. And that's what I'm going to do these next 4 weeks. I'm probably going to go out to Vegas a couple weeks early. I'm going to be with the Mayweathers. I'm going to visit their boxing gym. They're endorsing P28. I got to visit a couple other places out there because I have some new products that I'm developing.
Ooh.
And then just get ready for the show.
Nice.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah, we have the booth out there, so we rock it every year with the booth. And, you know, we have all the spreads there this year. So we're going to be facing the stage like we were last year. So people, you know, hang out at the booth, eat product, and pretty much watch the whole show go on.
So you just answered my next question, and I don't even have to look for a segue now. I was going to ask about P28 at the show. So
yeah, we're there. We're there. We've been there the last 4 years. We sell out every year, thank God. And this year, you know, we have the spreads to be able to introduce. I always try to bring, you know, new things to you know, big events like this, either the national show or or, you know, Olympia or Arnold. So this year we're able to feature all the spreads. You know, the next show's coming up, I'll have some new flavors of that, and then some new products that are going to be coming out that people are going to love. So,
now, you mentioned some new product and product development. Is it something you can talk about, or do we have to wait and see?
You got to wait and see.
Okay.
You got to wait and see. But
right.
And we're gonna have the gear on the site too real soon. I know everybody loves, you know, the different types of shirts and things that I wear, and you know, the P28 prep team, and I've already developed one for the Olympia, so I have a bunch of those, you know, given out at the show and things like that. But definitely,
excellent,
all the gear will be up and on the site, and people will be able to enjoy that as well.
Excellent. Well, Billy, a lot of great information, a lot of inspirational words. I'm going to see how many times I can say inspiration and inspirational before this interview is concluded.
It's my pleasure. You know me, like, I believe this stuff. So you call me, I could go on and on and on about, you know, the things that I love about what we're doing. I mean, there's nothing more positive than health. You know, and if you don't have that in your life, you have nothing at the end of the day. You can have everything else material-wise in the world, but it means nothing if you're not healthy and have a good mind and balance through life. That's the bottom line. So there's some more words of wisdom for you.
And we're gonna get one more out of you too before we let you go. Let's say there's a newbie to competing, and his ultimate goal is to step on that Olympia stage or win the Olympia stage. Now, there are a lot of steps that happen along the way, but if there is one piece of advice or wisdom you can give to that person, what would it be?
It would be ready for that stage. And when I say that, so many people, you know, think they're ready, but they're really not.
Right.
You know, and it's not just about your look. It's not, you know, you have to be ready, you know, like I said, that balance, you know, mentally and physically, and have that good team behind you. Because there's so many things that go on, you know, negatively, or that can happen negatively around that, that if you don't have everything in line and you're not balanced, it could break you. And at the end of the day, we don't want to see that happen. I know I don't, you know, because, it's, you know, this isn't it. You know, there's more to this. And that's what I was saying at the beginning of the interview, you know, do it for you. You know, don't listen, you know, don't listen to everything that goes on around you. You know what I mean? Like, you have to listen to yourself first, and you have to want it yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you got coaches, you got family, you got friends, you got people that don't know what they're talking about, people that do know what they're talking about. You know, you have to dissect that all and just, you know, look inside yourself and say, you know, is this what I want? You know, and be ready for all those things that are going to come at you. Because there's going to be a lot of things that come at you, especially when you start saying Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the stage. That's it. That's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
So don't wish for something that you really don't want. You know, you better want it.
Be ready for it when it comes.
And be ready for it.
That's right.
Most definitely.
Well, Billy, thanks again, as always, for joining us here on Physique Star Radio. And to our listeners, make sure you stay tuned. We have another great guest lined up for you after these messages.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Formistanzol is an amazing compound that should be part of every cycle, not only for muscle gains and fat loss, but for longevity and health. Formistanzol is one of the world's most potent aromatase inhibitors. Use Formistanzol for on-cycle estrogen and progesterone control, as a standalone anabolic fat burning agent, and during post-cycle therapy. Are you using Muscle Research's revolutionary transdermal Formistanzol? Available at MrSupps.com with free shipping.
Every bodybuilder scours the supplement world looking for the secret of how to get huge and ripped. But what if I told you there's a product that'll give you a year's worth of gains in mere weeks? I bet I have your attention now. Let me introduce you to Methyl S, Ion Tech Labs brand name for pure, uncut methylstenbolone. If you seek strength and massive size gains, Methyl S promises just that. And no conversion to estrogen, so no gynecomastia. That's right, no chance of growing male breasts or bitch tits. No estrogen also means no bloating. And Methyl S is the strongest legal pro-hormone on the market. It's comparable to the strength and mass building effects of the powerful oral anabolic steroids, Anadrol and Dianabol. Sound too good to be true? Well, try Methyl S for yourself. Go to www.IonTechLabs.com for the most powerful legal designer steroid of all time. Order your bottle of Methyl S today at IonTechLabs.com.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting QuestProteinBar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out QuestProteinBar.com now. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com.
And welcome back to Physique Star Radio. With us now is first place in Class E and new IFBB Pro at the North American Championships, Anthony Perez. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on
here. Exciting to be on.
Well, you know, you've been... I know sometimes your placings haven't necessarily reflected it, but you've been knocking at the door for a while. You're always coming in great shape with a quality physique, and I'm glad to see that it paid off for you this last show.
Thanks. I mean, it means a lot, actually, coming from you. We've had multiple conversations, you know, along this journey, so thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, and you've been in the game since, I think, since the first year it was out, right? You started competing early on in physique's history, correct?
My first show was last year, June 8th. It was the SoCal Championships
in
San Diego.
So pretty, still fairly early in the second year, though.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, just to give our listeners a little bit of history, I mean, and like you mentioned, we've talked on a number of different occasions, and you were met with a bit of frustration,
with some of the things that came up and some of the times at shows where it didn't go quite as well as you'd hoped. And I wanted to let our listeners in a little bit on our conversation that we had in Culver City at one of John Lindsay's recent shows where, you know, we were discussing what you were going to do next with your career. So could you just kind of reiterate that for our listeners so they can see how this occasionally works out?
Most definitely. So last year, I decided to compete, as I said, and my first show was June 8th, the SoCal Championships. I actually was fortunate enough to, I won my class and I won the overall there, so I was excited, and right away I was told to do the LA. So got prepped for the LA. Birthday was in the middle of there, had to miss that, but you know, we all make sacrifices for this game. Did the LA, and you know, definitely felt like small fish, big pond there, because so many people are getting ready for the USAs, and I won that class and that overall also. So I was feeling so grateful, you know, at that point, and just more in a wow, you know, cloud of what was going on. And then USAs is a week later, so there's not much time to think. It's just, okay, get back, stay tight, and go to USAs. And I get there, and we're dealing with 1,300 or 1,500 competitors. I was something else. And to be honest, for everybody, I got last call out, you know, and you just, you know, I didn't expect to win at all, but getting last call, you're kind of like, wow, you know, what did I do wrong? I just competed a week ago against a lot of the same guys, and, you know, I ended up doing really, really bad. Then I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go for some redemption. So I'm going to go right away, and I'm going to go do North Americans. I'm going to prove all this wrong, and then boom, dead last again, last call out.
And that was so, 2012, correct?
Correct, 2012. So I ended up getting two last call outs. And at that point, it was, I think, enough with maybe looking at the outside, and I'd start looking at myself and figuring out what it was that I was going to need to do to really make a difference on the national stage, because regionals is one thing, but when you get to nationals, now you have everybody that's the best at the regionals, and you're trying to crack the top five, you're going to have to do something extraordinary. So I really thought long and hard on the off season and realized that, you know, I need to be bringing what they're looking for. I think in 2012, I was so upset in doing things my way. You know, I'm going to lift heavy. I'm going to have, you know, the physique I want to have, and it's going to be enough. Well, that wasn't the case. You know, I actually had to conform, and I had to realize that I couldn't have, you know, this massive back or these, or all these things that I wanted to have. You know, I was in a sport of aesthetics, and I needed to bring my physique to what they wanted. And in 2013, me and you started talking, and we actually met at North Americans in 2012.
Right.
And we started conversating, and my conversation with you here in 2013 was that I got eighth at South Carolina Junior USAs, which I actually was very happy with. I really worked hard in bringing a completely different physique from last year, and I was really happy with that, and I had no complaints. And then I go to Team U. I skip nationals, junior nationals. I go to Team U, and I'm getting third. Right. And once again, I was really happy to be top three, but that one was a hard one to take, you know, to be 100% honest, because you're so close.
Right.
You're so close. I mean, I was there with you when you missed it by one placing once, and you know how it is. It's, you're close to touch.
Yeah, I was second at North Americans last year when it was first only,
I know. I saw you come off stage, and I was right there, and I was, you're so close. You don't even, you have nothing to say. It's not about the place. You're just so close. That's all you could think about.
Yep.
And me and you had a conversation, I think, a few weeks later, and I told everybody on my Instagram and my Facebook that I wasn't doing USAs, and most would have expected me to jump right to it, to have just gone to USAs, but I couldn't do that. I didn't. I made a decision in the beginning of the year that I was going to make sure that I had balance in the sport, and I didn't want to doing show after show after show and putting my family, my girlfriend, and everybody, and just asking them one more show. I started feeling really selfish, and I started feeling like I was taking so much and not giving anything back, and I felt, you want to know what? If this is supposed to happen, it's going to happen. And that's something that you told me. It's like, you know, it's you're going to do the show, and when the time's right, you're going to turn pro, you know, and it's not going to happen, Anthony, but the truth is me trying to rush it or me trying to rush a bunch of shows in wasn't going to make it happen anytime soon. When my physique was ready is when it was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I was extremely relieved to have to tell everybody, you know, that once I made that decision not to do USAs, I felt like the biggest weight was lifted off of me.
Right.
And I felt like I was actually respecting my family and my girlfriend, and come to find out they weren't going to say anything, but me actually taking a step back was showing them that, you know, I still had, was still putting them, you know, in the circle of importance,
right.
you know, for my life.
Well, and it's a tricky balance to strike, because stepping on stage frequently can be very important. And as a competitor, you should want to get on stage on a semi-regular basis. However, there is that line that can be crossed to where you, if you take a moment to reflect, you can see that, in order to really compete at your top level, you do have to neglect some things to some degree.
Right.
And if it's competition after competition, it's easy to get away from those things which are really important to us, which would be family and close friends. And the journey of competing should involve them. And it, you know, from when we chatted at Culver City, I mean, I was blown away by how supportive your family and friends are, and then how you reciprocate by taking a show off and just letting them know that really they are the most important thing to you. But finding that balance and understanding what's a healthy level of competition when it comes to just getting up on stage.
It's so true. You know, I mean, and when you get that win or when you've done really well, I feel like at that show or wherever you're shooting for,
mm-hmm.
you're going to turn around and want to celebrate with somebody. You're going to turn around and want to, you know, rejoice with somebody. But if, like you said, you've neglected too far,
mm-hmm.
some of those bridges might be burned.
Right. So, well, I'm glad that you know I've had a chance to follow you, you know, through your career and see how things are coming along to this point. I think that, and this is just my guess, is that you'll probably start to put a little bit more of the size back on when you compete at the pro level. Would you say that's true, or are you going to maintain where you are?
I 100% agree with you. I used to sit around 230, you know, 220, and really had to bring my physique down. Most people, you know, ask my height and weight. You know, I'm 6 foot,
mm-hmm.
over 6 foot, and I ended up coming in about a little less than 195, 194 and a half.
Yep.
It's a lot of weight to lose, you know, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's necessary at the NPC level, you know, right before you crack that spot, because you've streamed down and balanced your physique where it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now I do want to add back on a good 5 to 7 pounds. I was mentioning that today to my girlfriend and to my trainer. I said, you want to know what? This is my next goal. And that, when I have that, is when I'll present that on stage.
Right. Well, and you know, and this is, well, before I forget, what do you have a show picked out for your debut?
See, most have said, you know, go right to the next pro, right to the next pro show, but I won't do that. You know, just as how I took my time with choosing these three shows this year and taking time in between, I'm going to wait till next year.
There you go.
You know, I want to make sure that I can put on that size. I don't want to just compete to compete. I want to compete and make sure that I can show something different on stage.
Right, yeah, and showing improvement and understanding that it is a different pool you're in now. And that's something that, you know, we've discussed on the show before, and I think that you and I have discussed this probably at Golds in Venice at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
But the local level shows, it's not always the case, but oftentimes a little bit smaller, a little bit softer. National level, a little bit bigger, a little bit harder. And then by the time you get to the pros, it's good quality lean muscle mass and usually really tight. Not always, but it seems like that tends to be the trend. So it doesn't surprise me that you are planning on putting on, like you said, about 7 pounds or so before
mm-hmm.
that next show. And I've seen you when you're filled out a little bit more, when you're carrying a little extra mass, and I think it, I mean, my opinion is it fits your physique. If you are sitting about you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds heavier. I think your physique fills out really well, and I think you'll do. I mean, you'll be in a really good position at the pro level.
If for me personally, I'm in the gym or even a week or two out from the show, I love that look, mm-hmm. that size. So that's what I'm looking to bring.
Right.
Next year, you know, like you said, we knew seeing each other in Venice and stuff like that, and it's just so much different, you know, what happens come show day. But that's what was necessary, you
right.
know, to get past this point. And then now I can really start bringing a little more size and what I'm really excited to show, because
right.
I really want to show a little more size and the fullness that I like to carry.
Right. Well, you know, and for our listeners, they've heard me preach some of the opposite. I always tell the guys to bring what they want the division to be. Obviously, whatever anybody says should be taken with a grain of salt. And you're hearing now from Anthony that his experience was more about working to tailor his physique to what the judges are looking for. And that's not to say I don't think you should go along with general guidelines, but I have a slightly different belief on that. I'm more about trying to make sure you as a competitor are happy. But obviously placing well is important as well. And it's just interesting to see the different sides of the coin when it comes to that.
Yeah. Well, when I kind of maybe want to just add to that real quick. What I mean by bringing tailoring the judges, it wasn't what, like, I just said, okay, I'm going to do whatever they say. No, what I did was I had to listen to what they say instead of being defensive, which many of us are. I was like, oh, no, I don't have too much of the big back. And then when I look, I'm like, okay, it is a little thicker, dense. I really do need to bring that down. I'm not trying to, you know, bodybuild or something like that. So I think I had to stop being so defensive and really start listening to the criticism. I think it's a better way to put it.
Well, and when you hear that feedback too, this is something that's really important for competitors. Make sure you find a common thread in that feedback, because different judges will give you different feedback, and you may be told 7 things to work on, and 2 of them may be uniform across all judges that you talk to. If that's the case, those are the things you should really give serious consideration. But when it comes to some other criteria or some other feedback, you may have 2 judges give you the exact opposite pieces of advice. It's not frequent, but it does happen. So it's important to find that common thread when it comes to the feedback. And for Anthony, it sounds like definitely the thickness and size of his back was one of those things to work on. And some of that can come down to your posing and how much you pump up before and how many carbs you add.
I really did.
So keeping that all in mind. But then as you get to the pro level, you'll notice that the guys are a little bigger typically, and you're able to – you have a little more leeway. And because you don't have to do just straight front, straight back, you can camouflage your physique a bit and show off those attributes that you want to show off more so to the judges.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
So many of us with the – you know, it's sport of illusion, so we kind of want to, you know, hide a few things, show a few things off. So I'm excited to start putting a little more of myself into the posing.
There you go. Now, Anthony, you're still hanging out in Pittsburgh, living up the high life in Steel City, right?
Correct. Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh, and, you know, part of my whole thing about, you know, honoring family and girlfriends and stuff, we're here spending a few extra days, and then we're on our way to New York to meet a bunch of fitness fam out there, work out, enjoy Times Square, and then head back on Friday.
Excellent. Well, I guess I want to ask you before we let you go, because I know you're going to take a little bit of time to put that size back on. Any changes when it comes to training or eating that you're planning on instituting before your pro show?
No. You know, I don't do like a big off-season bulk or anything. I really eat just a lot more of the same healthy foods.
Right.
I've always been kind of a really regimented guy that way. I also do things a little different than most, and I don't eat, I don't take any shakes or any pre-workouts or anything. All my food, or all my macros, I guess you could say, have to come from whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that since I started competing last year. So it's a little bit different than how people do it, but there's no special reason why I did that last year, except for the fact that I consider myself just a big pig. I just like to eat, and I'd rather just eat more food than, you know, take a supplement for it. So
well,
I've always done that, so I'm just going to continue doing that, and I find that really tacks on clean mass for me, and that's the approach I'm going to use.
Well, and it's a good piece of advice, too, or can be, if someone finds that they are just constantly hungry, but half of their regimen is comprised of protein shakes, there's a good chance if they replace that protein shake on occasion with real food and a quality carbohydrate source or a salad or something, they'll stay more full and be able to stick to their diet more closely, as long as they take the time to prep the food. Anthony, I know you're trying to have some family time there, so I want to let you get back to that. But before we do, are there any shout-outs you'd like to give?
Definitely. You know, I want to thank my coach, Lane Norton, Dr. Lane Norton. He was the first coach I ever, one and only coach I've ever worked with since last year, and the man has done amazing things for me. And I hope to, you know, be with him next year when we go pro, and I'm really excited for that. Jeremy, also, I do want to thank him, IFBB Pro. He took the time the day before the show to look at my posing routine and, you know, give credit where credit's due, you know, said that it's not adequate enough. So we made some slight adjustments, and I felt like it made the difference here at North Americans, and was able to, you know, strike that pro card. And of course, you know, my girlfriend, Mary Brennan, she, anybody that has a girlfriend or a wife or anything understands the torture and horror sometimes that they have to go through. So I thank you for that. It's something else. And of course, my family. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And where can people find you, Anthony, if they're trying to check out your Facebook or whatnot?
Definitely. You know, my number one source right now is going to be my Instagram. It's going to be atrain_100, ATRAIN_100. Or you can find me on Facebook at Anthony J. Perez.
Great. Well, Anthony, once again, congrats. I had a feeling you were going to get it. I didn't know when, but I just had a feeling you were one of those guys that was going to eventually make it happen. And I'm really happy for you, bud.
Thanks. I really appreciate it, man.
You got it. And to our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Physique Star Radio. Make sure you tune back in next week for another great episode.